Welcome to Financial Life Planning. I'm your host, Mike Morton, certified financial planner, registered life planner. And you'll notice I'm doing the introduction today because my normal co-host, Matt, has once again abandoned me. But good news, I've got a great friend on the podcast today. I'm really excited for today's conversation. So on the podcast is Adam Corin. Welcome, Adam, to the show.
Thanks, Mike. Happy to be here with you. Yeah.
You might not have heard of Adam. He is a friend of mine who helps people who hate dealing with their money. That's probably a lot of people. He loves helping people who hate dealing with their money. He's been coaching for more than 20 years, bringing care, clarity, and sanity, thank goodness, to personal finance, especially for those who experience avoidance, shame, or confusion, which I imagine is a lot of people. So Adam, I'm excited to have you on the show. We're going to explore some fun topics about some of that today.
It's great. Looking forward to it.
So one of the things that we wanted to talk about is we don't want the listeners to panic when you look at bank account balances. And I can, you know, this is something Adam and I decided to dive into and talk a little bit about, is why our friends that we work with, people we know, or you, the listener, might really be avoiding, you know, looking at those balances, looking at the accounts, and what we can do about that. And I recognize this a lot. I don't necessarily have clients that avoid looking at their balances because I sort of force them to do that, to do our work together. But I do often run across looking at expenses, past expenses. So I have clients, hey, let's look at, you know, review expenses from the past year and pull those up and let's make sure that we're, you know, making good assumptions for the future. And I find that really hard. People don't like to look at, you know, those past, pull it. One is probably some work. So they're like, oh, that's work to do. But I also feel there's more to it than that. Like people don't want to actually review, you know, those past expenses. So I imagine it's similar, you know, when you're talking about looking at bank account balances and you have to log in and see what's actually there. So Adam, why do, you know, what do you find in your work and why do people avoid looking at those balances?
Yeah. Well, so many different directions we could go with this. I think where I'd like to start is hardly anybody gets any education with their finances. And plus, people don't really talk about it all that much, especially with any detail, sometimes even with the closest people in our lives. And yet, this is the thing that took me years of doing this work to figure out. For whatever reason, just about everyone I speak with has an expectation of themselves. I should know what I'm doing with my finances. I'm an adult. Mm-hmm. But wait a second. We didn't get trained. We don't talk about it. And then plus, for many people growing up, it's either loaded, full of stress and fighting, or totally ignored. And so we just kind of get this message. It's really important, obviously, and yet we shouldn't talk about it for some reason. And it just ends up being this topic that there's a lot of stress and a lot of avoidance for many, many people.
Yeah. I hear that, man. It's amazing that we have this system that really puts the personal finance on you as the person now. And yet, like you said, there's no schooling, you know, unless you were raised in a family environment. I work with my clients trying to say like, hey, you know, you got kids, hey, you got to raise them with some like financial education because otherwise you just don't get it anywhere else.
Right. Right. Unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah. So my work is a lot about financial handholding, really. It's guiding people to kind of gently lean into this area that can be really uncomfortable, but really doesn't have to be. I mean, it's at the end of the day, they're numbers and they mean a lot, but once we are able to find a way to look at our balances, our past transactions, whatever it is, there's always an experience on the other side of relief. Even if it doesn't look good, even if it's way lower than you expected, even your balances, I just find every time there's a sense of like, all right, well, now I know what I'm dealing with. Whereas before there was just the anxiety of I'm afraid of what might be there.
Right, right. So I can definitely see, as you can get people to look at the balances, you're saying, oh, you will feel better, all right? But we still have this problem of like doing it in the first place. So before we get to some solutions, what are some of the feelings that people might be having, you know, either avoiding looking at those balances?
Yeah, mostly various forms of fear, anxiety, stress, sometimes frustration and anger. And often there's fear underneath that is more vulnerable to feel, perhaps. And then also want to talk about shame. And I think the shame, I think a big part of the shame is often about shame. It's about, I should be better at this. I should know what I'm doing, but I don't. So there must be something wrong with me. And any feeling of shame like that will make most people just want to run in the other direction. So that's part of why I started the way I did, with that message of like, we think we should know what we're doing. There's no reason we should know what we're doing. It's ridiculous that we think that. I mean, not that there's something wrong with us for thinking that, but that belief that so many of us have, I think, is unfounded, that we should know what we're doing. And if we can really take that on of, oh, I don't know, and that's fine. Like, there's no reason I should be ahead of where I am. This is where I am. And it's okay to be a learner and to figure out whatever I need to do to talk to you or me or Google, you know, just, you can find out whatever you need. But coming from that place of, I'm okay. It's okay that I don't know what I'm doing, or wherever, whatever stage you're in.
Yeah, that's really interesting. First thing I heard you say was, those feelings are okay. You know, whether it's, you know, you're feeling anxious, you're feeling scared, you're feeling frustrated. Hey, yeah. Welcome to being a human. But just because it's about money in this case, it's okay. It's okay to feel that. And then the next thing was the should, right? And I think that's a big topic. It's, hey, I feel like I should know this stuff. And it could lead to those feelings of frustration or anger. But there's no reason that you should feel that way, that you should know these, because we're just not raised, again, in that environment where you had that schooling, like, oh, okay, maybe you should know 2 + 2. Like, we have school that teaches you math and all this stuff, right? But there's no reason that you should, in your 20s, expect that you understand and really know finance, not just know numbers and math, but really for yourself, know the personal finance. So that's okay too. So if you're listening to this, you have that feeling, man, I really should know. There's no reason that you should. And welcome to the world of continuing learning and you know, things that you want to know for your life.
Right. You know, I've never thought of it this way until right now, but you know, when dealing with finances is challenging, it's primarily an emotional challenge rather than a numbers or math or anything practical like that, you know, and just finding a way to regulate our nervous system and to find a way to bring some calm, some self-acceptance through whatever shame and self-judgment you got. The more we can find our way into that, we can deal with whatever we need to deal with.
Yeah, it's so interesting you say that around emotions. Yeah, everything we do as humans are all emotions, and yet we think finance, it's all numbers, right? I should just be able to just see it. But no, it's not true. You know, it's all about what you bring to it as a human.
So I'm curious for you, when you get into the planning process with people, especially when they've got avoidance around their money or strong feelings come up, yeah, would love to just hear what how you deal with that, or how you help people when they've got some of that going on.
Yeah, one of the big things is usually they've already overcome some of that because they're reaching out to me. They know it's a financial advisor, right? They know we're going to be talking about finances. So I always congratulate people when they first reach out to me, because that's the hardest step. You know you're going to deal with money. You know you're going to talk with it with somebody, and you have reached out anyway. So congratulations. That's great first step. So they've already got a little momentum. The other big thing that I find is as we get organized, like you said, after you look at the numbers, you will feel better, even if they're not good. A lot of people coming to me are very unorganized and feeling that and saying, geez, I have like so many accounts. Geez, I don't know quite what I spend. I don't know quite what we make. I don't know where all the money is. Yeah. Okay. Welcome to the real world here. That's how it happens these days. And we're going to get organized. And one of the big things, the big relief, again, getting back to the emotions, which is everything, people will feel a massive relief as we get organized and put everything into one place and they can see it all. And so that's a big way that we make a lot of progress together is just by, like you said, writing down all the numbers and seeing them all together at once.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And often what's coming to mind for me is that there can be fear along the way of that process, like, because we're finally turning towards the thing that we've been afraid of and avoiding. And a thing that my coach said that I really loved is that when we're, that takes courage, right? To face our fear and to move through it. And what my coach said is that being courageous often feels like fear. Like the experience of being courageous, there's often a like a quaking, a stress. It doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. You know, we laud people being courageous as this like heroic thing, but usually it feels terrible in the moment.
Yeah.
Briefly. And then we're on the other side. And then also the other thing I noticed when I get into that kind of work with people is like, you know, initially we're talking about it. There's a lot of nervousness. And then once we actually pull up accounts and start dealing with practical details, it seems to flip a different part of our brain that is about practicalities. That's about problem solving. That's about details and numbers. And that's usually, I mean, it's usually not so emotional. Now we're just getting into it. Now we're just dealing with whatever we're trying to figure out. And so often that can be a real relief is once we're into it, now we're beyond the feelings and more feelings might come up in the process and looking at the numbers. That can be helpful too, just actually getting into and dealing with it.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. As you were saying, the courageous, it reminded me often right before the best things that happen in your day or your week, or when you're feeling very nervous about taking that step. And that's when, if you can flip your mindset to say, oh, I'm really nervous. I don't know if I want to do this. And just remind yourself, oh, what's coming next is going to be great. You know, it's going to really show me something, teach me something. I'm going to learn something. I'm going to do something. I'm going to have a great experience. You know, that's what all that nervousness and excitement is showing you.
I like that. Yeah.
So you just mentioned a way, hey, knowing that, hey, I'm avoiding looking at this. I'm pushing it off. I know maybe I should deal with it, but I'll do it tomorrow. Knowing that, hey, you're going to feel better. And, you know, your stories of, oh, once we can look at the numbers, you know, kind of flips a switch. And now we're into, oh, getting some momentum, problem solving, you know, using a different part of our brain. What are some steps for somebody that is avoiding? Man, I just, you know, I don't like looking at these balances. I'm just kind of, I'm going to ignore that. What are some practical things they can do just to make some first steps and feel that way?
Yeah. It's a good question. Interested in your ideas too. Yeah. My biggest tip is to start talking about it with somebody. Could be the closest person in your life. Could be a counselor, therapist of some kind. Just to, shame thrives in darkness and being hidden. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't survive being exposed to the light. And so if you can talk about it with someone, I feel afraid to look. Even just that, could be like, we're laughing. Like there's something freeing about just admitting when we're scared. So that's one. And then along with that, like it may actually just be part of the conversation of like, hey, do you mind if I just do this while I'm on the phone with you? Like you could, so you could talk about it and then you could actually do it. Cause pulling up your balances doesn't take a lot of time.
Right.
you could probably do it in 30 seconds, maybe less. So yeah, ideally that's my biggest tip is talk it over and do it with someone if at all possible, if you've got somebody like that in your life.
Yeah. I love even, you know, just as you were saying that, I'm looking at you and I was just thinking you could even do that in the mirror, right? Like you could just right before I'm not doing this, like you could even go to the mirror and say, yeah, hey, I'm going to do this thing. Like tell yourself, you know, give yourself some positive self-talk, you know, and go through that. One of the things that I run across a lot is couples avoiding it. So it might not be avoiding, you know, looking at the balances. That's fine. You know, I go in there all the time, but they avoid talking about it, communicating, because one of them might be a saver and one's a spender, you know, or one really understands the finances and the other feels shame that they don't know, right? Don't understand. So they're like, oh, I don't want to look. You just deal with it. And so one of the great tips would be having a date night, you know, together with your partner and once a month or whenever is appropriate, where you sit down, you make a nice comfortable environment, you know, so it's kind of that date night and you go over stuff and you talk out loud to your point, say it out loud. Hey, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what, you know, one partner can be like, here's what I want to know about, you know, and the other partner could say, here's what I've been seeing or watching, or here's our budget, you know, and have a shared conversation and talk about it out loud really brings down the tone, right? When you're in your own head, just getting really frustrated or, you know, anxious about, are we making enough? Are we spending too much? You're in your own head. And by having a night where you can say things out loud, I think, well, to your point, like just puts it out there in the world and makes it feel a lot more relaxed.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that a lot. Do you have tips for a structure for date night?
I think the structure first, I liked it to be organized every month, every quarter, you know, have a schedule to it. I think is really nice to be able to stick with it. Put it on the calendar. Even if you don't have a schedule, just say, oh yeah, we haven't had that in a while. Let's pick a night, right? Put it on the schedule first. So definitely have it on the, you know, because these days, right? Things come up. Oh, we'll do that tomorrow night. Oh, we'll do that next week. So having it on the schedule really makes sense. And then I don't have a particular what to talk about because it really is individualized. I think ahead of time you create that little agenda, right? Hey, what are you thinking about? You know, the one partner, I often run across one partner really knows the finances, kind of handles it, you know, for the family, and the other doesn't as much. So from both sides, you can be like, hey, I want to share this with you. I want to talk about it. And the person that doesn't know as much could say, hey, I'm feeling anxious about this, or I got some questions about this. So maybe putting together a little agenda ahead of time.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I don't have a set agenda either, but sometimes in my work coaching couples, I'll help them come up with their own structure. And sometimes that can really ease the anxiety of getting into that kind of conversation, knowing like, okay, I know exactly what we're going to be doing and in what order, and it's right here. And one that comes to mind that a couple cultivated over many months was they started with high fives, not literal high fives, mm-hmm. but like appreciations, basically, mm-hmm. Appreciating the other for something they did, whether it was financial or not, but often was, because kind of getting oriented to that. And then I would also recommend, you know, if this matters for you, having some kind of touch, some kind of help with grounding and connecting and soothing. So that ideally, because this stuff can be very activating, the more we can start from a connected, peaceful place, the better. And then generating an agenda, if you don't have one already, like, okay, here are the things that are on my mind that I want to make sure we talk about. And then, looking at balances as a way to start, and just mm-hmm. like, oh, great. This is where we are. So that's a potential agenda, but I think it's important to adapt it and make it your own.
Yeah, I think both are important. I mean, yeah, definitely making it your own, but I love, the avoidance, right? You're avoiding looking at these things. You're avoiding talking about them. And if you don't have a clear agenda and it on the calendar, you're going to continue that avoidance, right? And so I love having the calendar and the structure to get into it, you know? And I love the way that you started doing the high fives, always appreciating the person that's there, and then trying to, of course, we said this is very emotional topics. So trying to bring down like, hey, and also just the empathy for the person that's sitting across from you, to realize that they're not feeling what you're feeling. You know, they're feeling different things. And to just understand like those are just as important and help that person sitting across from you just like they want to help you as well. So, yeah, I love that.
I like that a lot. Yeah, the empathy of remembering they've got their whole, their experience going on. I loved what you said a few minutes ago also when you're meeting with someone about starting with congratulating them. And I think that could be something to start with also is just like, hey, we're here talking about money. Like this takes courage and we're doing it and just celebrating and appreciating that we've made time to do something that can be challenging.
100%. It's so strange, isn't it, Adam, that like I try to start every meeting by really appreciating the person that's there, giving a warm, what we call a warm welcome, a big hello, a big high five, a big like, oh, I'm glad we're here. I'm glad we're doing this. And when I'm saying that to you or you're watching this video, don't you just feel like, oh, this is great, right? And so now you're already feeling good and you're feeling like we're going to do something fun together. And just that 20 seconds is all it takes to start off on, you know, great, on the right foot, especially when we're talking about money coming up next.
Right. Starting well really matters. Yeah.
Yeah. So in your work with your clients, you know, we've talked about maybe putting something on the calendar to look at this, you know, saying it out loud with a partner. Any other tips that people who are feeling fearful or feeling like they're avoiding getting started could take a first step in that direction?
Yeah. Well, this is more on the mindset side, but taking what we've talked about today and applying some self-acceptance, some self-compassion. Particularly if you're somebody who dealing with finances is stressful, and that's many of us, just to see if you can soothe yourself with saying things to yourself like, it's okay. Just that simple. Whatever it is, I'll deal with it. And, it's kind of like summoning the best in us, you know. The stress that can come up around this stuff can be so challenging. So the more that we can summon our best selves and face it from that place, the better off we're going to be.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. The number of emotions that come up when we talk about money are infinite, and many of them are negative, stress and shame and feeling anxious. And as we started the conversation, a lot of that comes from those first 20 years of how we grew up, the environment we grew up in. And just to realize, again, we said at the top, saying it here at the end, that it's okay. Like you're okay. There's nothing wrong with you. It's okay. And give yourself a little bit of love and a little bit of confidence to say, hey, that's cool. We are where we are and we could do this. And don't feel like you should know this stuff, you know, just give yourself a little bit of that self-compassion. Say, yeah, it's all right. We're here and we can make it happen.
Mm-hmm. I have one last thought too, which is, and I could definitely practice this more myself, which is gratitude. And particularly because it really flips the brain from, because we're predominantly problem focused. That's what draws our attention as humans, is any kind of threat. And if we can flip that to gratitude, even if your financial situation is not so good, like just like is finding whatever it is that you are grateful for your last meal, or, you know, for having a roof over your head or whatever it is. That's significant, you know, and many, many humans do not have those things. So just flipping our perspective into gratitude and appreciation can help us kind of summon our best selves.
100%. You know, comparison is the thief of joy. And yet I find myself doing it all the time and not having, it's the opposite of gratitude, you know, comparing what I don't have, you know, what someone else has. And it's like, holy smokes, do you know how great life is? It's pretty good, man. Yeah. It's pretty good. Well, thanks, Adam. Where can people find you?
Sure. My website, adamcorin.com, and on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Fantastic. Well, thanks, Adam. Appreciate having you on the show today and sharing all of your insights.
My pleasure.
Thanks for joining us on Financial Life Planning. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to and rate the podcast on Apple iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. It makes a massive difference. If you have a comment or question, please email me, mike@mortonfa.com. Until next time, thanks for tuning in. This recording is for informational purposes only and should not be considered for investment advice. Opinions expressed are as of the date of recording. Such opinions are subject to change. I cannot guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the data presented here.